There we go. You guys are being recorded. Okay.
Thank you everyone for being here tonight. We will go ahead and start with our meeting for January 8th at 6:40 p.m. We're meeting at Altview Elementary. It's a meeting of the White City Council. Our first item of business in the workshop is public comment. If there's any member of the public wishing to give public comment, we'd invite you up here. We'll limit comments to 3 minutes each and ask you to state your name for the record. Anyone like to give public comment tonight?
You're just getting it started.
Oh, okay. Well, congratulations to all of you.
Will you state your name?
Oh, I'm so sorry. Rebecca Gillespie. That's it?
Address.
I live in South Jordan, but I own a property on 106 South 1135 East. And I am just here because I've been trying to work through some stuff with the municipal people that help out, and we're all a little confused on certain things. So I found on White City's website some fees for a short-term rental license. And when I've contacted the people to try to apply for that, nobody knows where or what. And then when I'm looking through the city codes, I'm not able to currently find a place where specifically short-term rentals are addressed as to where they're allowed. I see some places where they're not allowed, like in accessory dwellings and things like that. So I was just wanting to come, introduce myself, see if hopefully White City has a plan for that. The fee schedule that I saw online on the website is from July of 2025, so it's only 6 months old, and I know some of you guys are new, so maybe you're still working through that process. This is my first time coming to a White City Council meeting, but I'll definitely be reaching out to all of you personally because I literally just started this process. I was calling yesterday and then I realized, oh, there's a meeting tonight. I'm going to come. I'm going to introduce myself. I've owned the property on 106 South since 2020 and had it as a long-term rental. And anyway, I won't get into details on why that isn't currently working out for me. Anyway, I'm just hoping that I can get to know everybody and see if there's a plan for that in the future. I know we're not going to address that tonight, but it's something that I and maybe there's others that are wondering about as well. So thank you so much for your time and congratulations to everybody, and I'll be in touch.
All right.
Thank you.
Okay. What's that?
35.
Sorry.
Hi, I'm Nicole Thompson. Y'all know me. Y'all know what I'm probably going to say too. But my first item of concern is there on the northeast corner of Sable Lily and 13th. I know technically it's Sandy, which I don't see out of here. But if you're not aware, I know that developer is looking at putting in a what I like to call a 50-minute city. It looks like it's going to be a 50-minute city. It's going to be multi-use apartments, bodegas, whatever. Because it's in Sandy, I don't know how much we can do, but I'm a little concerned because that's going to increase traffic like crazy. It's going to increase crime, most likely, and which will all that will lead over into White City. So just, I know a federal judge ruled on it, or a state judge, don't like it. But yeah, I just thought I'd bring it to the attention of the council. Also, by the way, congrats. And my second point is obviously what I always beat the dead horse about is UPD. Most of you guys know where I live. This isn't something I'm just pulling out of my butt. We do not see UPD at Budleia when the kids are getting out. I talk to Melissa almost daily. She says she's only seen one officer once since school started. And aside from just being on Budleia, we barely see them. I think I saw one October 1st. Just again, we're paying the taxes to them through Slovisa, and I just feel like we're not getting our share because they're all stuck in McVille. So that's my 2 points.
Thank you.
Thanks, Nikki.
My name is Evan Wallace, and I live at Wayne City, and we just want to welcome you, Alan Perry, as new mayor. Grateful to see you put in, and the council, we're grateful for the new members there also. Another thing I want to do is I think we should give a vote of thanks to Paulina Flint. I know that she has put in many long hours and many, many years in this, and I wish she were here so we could thank her for the service that she has all given. And I just want you to know we're excited for what's happening with White City and grateful that you're the new mayor.
Thank you.
Thank you, fellow.
Do we have any other public comment tonight? Okay, seeing none, we'll go ahead with the meeting. And I'll just, point of business for the council. We did purposely try to keep the agenda limited tonight because we are on a deadline. I think we're supposed to be wrapped up by 8 o'clock here. So that's the goal. So keep that in mind. I apologize for the restriction tonight. Is there any discussion or clarification of agenda items from the council? Okay. Seeing none. Item 3 is discussion future agenda items. These are a few items that were brought to attention for future discussion, and we won't be able to get into too much depth tonight, but item 3.1 is explore ideas for city communication strategy, planning, and implementation, including potential assistance from the MSD Communications Department. So I think a communication strategy is very important for us going forward to define what that means and what that is for us. That's something that I would like to work with Rory and Meridine and bring back some proposals and ideas for future discussion. Item 3.2, explore the local administrative advisor program offered by the Utah League of Cities and Towns to learn how it might benefit White City. This is a program offered through Utah League of Cities and Towns. Neil, is there anything you want to add to that future discussion item?
I've reached out to Utah League of Cities and Towns. Previously, White City had not been predetermined, not qualified for this program, but they're in the process of reconsidering that. And so if they come back with a positive, then I think we could explore it and see how it might help in certain ways. But until we know whether we can qualify, there's not a whole lot more to discuss.
Item 3.3, explore options for a central online hub of city and MSD documents, including gathering ideas from MSD IT department that could support collaboration among MSD staff, city staff, and elected officials. So this is a conversation I'd like to have more with Rory and also with MSD and kind of see if there's a way to standardize where we store documents for council member access and help keep us all on the same page. So that's something we'll be bringing back for future discussion. And then item 3.4, status update of the Parks and Recreation Master Planning process, including identifying next steps for formalizing community involvement. And I did speak a little bit with Daniel. I know this will be an upcoming item, probably by February. We'll be able to get a little more direction on and input on where we want to go next with park and recreation master planning for White City. A couple other future items. I just want to highlight that I'd like to bring. Community Council will be submitting their yearly report to us by the end of this month, and we'll have that for discussion in February. And then soon, we're probably a little behind the eight ball already, but we need to get into our budget process for our fiscal year. And then something I'd like to explore is a possible strategic planning session and a budget kickoff meeting for the council to kind of be able to discuss those things and get questions answered. Are any other future agenda items that the council has? Okay. Seeing none, we will close the workshop and we'll go ahead and move into the business meeting. At 6:50 p.m., we do have a quorum. All board members are present. So we'll first have our financial report. Dave Sanderson.
So in your packet is the financial report for White City, and it's up until 11/30/2025, so 41.67% of the fiscal year is around the fiscal year from July 1st to June 30th. On the general fund, the administrative fund, the revenues, sales tax is about 8% higher than projection, so sales tax is doing really well. That's about the only major revenue. On the expense side, everything is below 41%, except for the workers' comp insurance, and that was just barely paid, so you won't see that go anymore. So that's basically the administrative budget on page one. Any questions on that? No.
Yeah, I wonder if you could just give a...
I wonder if you could explain a little bit more about the transfers in and transfers out between the MSD, like the 540,000, 60,000. Who determines that? How? What are those numbers comprised of?
So if you have an agreement with MSD that we collect the taxes on the top end, but then they are transferred out to MSD to fund MSD services because they do accounting. Long-range planning and all that stuff.
Do they keep an itemized report of that? Do they track their hours? Like, how do they determine how much to charge?
Well, it's based on the revenues that come in. The agreement is based on revenues that come in. Sales tax, all the taxes are given to MSD. There's no really tracking of dime. Yeah, just all that revenue is given to MSD to run their operations. And then they produce a budget, which includes the which the mayor will oversee on the board. So that's kind of how that's done. That's on the first page, that's the administrative budget.
Thanks, that's all I have.
The second page is your net budget, which is the new taxes that you instituted about a year ago. And those revenues are coming in, $95,000 a year to date. They're expected about $250,000. There's been no budget of expenses for that. So that's in the future that there's no MSD intervention here. It's all yours, and you get to spend it accordingly. Below it is the amount of funds that are on hand that's given to us by the MSD. And yesterday, there's a slight change in the second number. It was 752,372. Stewart advised us that he had $600,000 too much in that number. So that number was revised to 152,373. And I don't know exactly what happened. He just told us that he reduced the number. So any questions on that page?
We'd just be interested in getting more detail about
from Stewart and as to what made that change take place.
I spoke with Stewart a little bit about it. So the 752,373, it was in that budget line item before, but then he moved 600,000 to the top line, to the restricted capital, but he just forgot to subtract it from the line that he moved it out of. So it was a transfer between accounts, but he forgot to subtract it from the one line item.
So it was already at the top number, 767,300. And the third page is your alcohol fund, which you haven't got your distribution yet. And that's basically spent on UPDs, DUI patrols. It's only $5,000. Mm-hmm. Any other questions or comments?
Dave, thank you for this. I'm curious, and just learning more about budgets. We just had a training earlier today, which is great. Do you know at what points in the year or dollar-wise when we would need to transfer money from a general fund into our capital fund? Because I believe as a city, we have to stay below 35% of our funds. Is that happening at a certain time of year?
Well, you're sort of atypical because you just have an administrative fund, and MSD has the general. So okay. MSD as a whole has to stay below 35%.
Okay.
But the rule is that any money saved on the administrative budget is then transferred into capital projects.
Okay, so the same for us even on our administrative one as well.
Yeah.
So it just looks revenue is running high. I know expenses might catch up. Is that something we would just need to make sure we do before the end of the fiscal year?
Well, Stewart does it at the end of the year. Once they get all the revenue in and the expenses in, let's say that the budget revenue exceeded the expenditures by $100,000, he would then move that money into the capital projects fund.
Okay, thank you.
So you're kind of atypical because they're the big general fund.
Right,
okay. Unless you move to a full-blown city and not contract with them, then you would become your own general fund. Then you'd be subject to the 35%. I listened to that today too.
Okay, great. So ours just applies to our administrative fund.
Yeah.
Okay. Thanks.
Any other questions for Dave?
No, good.
Just a question. Historically, have you been involved in the annual budgeting process to prepare to create a new budget?
Yeah, I've been involved in the administrative fund budget, which is the very first page. Mm-hmm. And I've got a detail of each of the accounts and what's spent out of them. But we need to work on the MET budget if you plan on spending any of that money, because there's no expenditures in that. You can obviously just keep rolling it. Yeah, I have a document that's 25 pages.
Okay, great. So since we're just starting that process, you can share that with us or like give us insights.
Yeah, I just need to update it from last year's and then share that with me.
Okay, thanks, Dave.
Thank you. We'll go ahead then and we'll move on to the Unified Fire Authority report. We have Chief Ken Aldrich here and also Sandy City Chief McConaughey.
Mayor, can we get a motion to approve?
We don't need one.
Okay.
But if someone wants to make one, we can.
I'm going to follow Dave's lead and grab a chair. That was a pretty good bit, Dave.
Might as well just pull it up.
Yeah,
a little bit.
That's it.
Too close.
I miss our U-shaped table. So, Neil, welcome. The rest of the council, welcome back. Congratulations. Good to see you all again. Thanks for having us. Budget discussion, UFA discussions are beginning, and we're busy working through our proposed budgets for the next fiscal year, which begins July 1. Meetings will be taking place over the next few months within divisions. To include benefits with our benefits consultant, the benefits and comp committee, and the fire chief. the board's presentation to the Board of Finance Committee in April. Final budget approval is scheduled for June 16th. Now we're going to start doing, as part of our monthly review, a division spotlight. This month we're going to talk about our fire prevention division. Unified Fire Authority is deeply committed to safeguarding community health, safety, and well-being through a proactive, comprehensive community risk reduction network. Community risk reduction is embedded across all fire prevention division responsibilities. UFA conducts a technical plan review and acceptance testing to ensure new construction incorporates effective fire protection systems, performs fire safety inspections to mitigate risks in existing occupancies, and provides standby oversight for large public events. Together, these coordinated efforts create a data-informed, prevention-focused system that measurably reduces community risk and promotes a safer, more resilient community. January safety message that we sent to Rory and should be coming out in the newsletter. Winter storm safety. With winter storms ahead, we want to remind residents of some fire safety tips to keep in mind during the season. Remember to test your smoke detectors monthly and have installed carbon monoxide alarms in your homes. It's especially important during winter months. Plan with your family two ways to get in and out of your home in case of any kind of emergency, and keep your walkways clear in case you have rescuers and need to get in quickly. Make sure your house number is easily visible from the street. And be a good neighbor and check in on your neighbors if you haven't seen them, and make sure that we're taking care of each other. That's all we've got for Unified Fire Authority. Any questions? Thank you.
Thank you. He thought he was off the hook.
No, we're going to sit right next to him. He kicked me out.
Thanks for having me for this quarterly report, and congratulations, Council members. So first of all, I wanted to start out with an invitation. As you are probably aware, we have completed our new Fire Station 31. That is where the old Wasatch Shadows Nursery used to be. And we are now inside, we're fully staffed, and it is operational. And so I would love it, whether I get set it up with Rory or whoever, I would love it to have you guys come by when you're available and set something up to have you do a walkthrough and see our new fire station. I think that would be great. It is one of the fire stations that would be responding into White City, depending on the nature of the call and that sort of thing. So I think it's fair that you guys come check it out. It turned out really nice, and we're really happy with it. So. Also, wanted to just point out before I get into the monthly and annual report that we have made, and we just finished an interview process, and are making offers to three new recruits that will be starting the next Recruit Academy starting February 9th. And we participated in the Salt Lake City Recruit Academy. So once those offers are made, that will bring us up to full staffing once again. And just as a reminder, I'm sure it's been brought up in the past, but we do have a wildland brush truck on order, and we also have a tiller ladder that's on order, and those are kind of far out. And so as far as orders go, and so we're still about a year out before we go do the pre-build on that, and then a year and a half to 2 years on receiving of that tiller ladder. So just some of the things to point out. So. To the monthly report, we had in December of 25, we had 24 medicals in White City and 3 fire calls in White City. So that's what we had to report for the month of December, all of them of varying natures. But just to reflect back on the year of 25, we had 197 medical calls through the entire year with 73 fire incidents. And just to compare from the previous year in 24, we had 202 medical calls and 85 fires. So pretty close, not a whole lot of fluctuation there, but just kind of gives you an idea of where things are going and kind of staying status quo. So that's kind of the report for the annual and the monthly, and not sure if you had any other questions for me.
Great. Thank you. Appreciate you.
And let me know when you'd like to come visit.
Yeah,
I'd love to do that.
Thank you both.
Thanks, guys.
Next on the agenda, item 4 is Unified Police Department report. We have Detective Josh Smith and Chief April Morse.
It's good to be with everyone tonight. Congratulations on those that were reelected and our new mayor and our new council member. Welcome. Like always, if you need us, let us know. You have our contact information. We'll help you out. I apologize for some of you that have already heard this report from last night. Just looking over the numbers for, because we always go back to the month of December or to the previous month. And we came in with the reports right around the 40 mark. We usually kind of are in the mid-30s to the upper 30s recently. And like I said, that's just the calls that are being generated reports. That's not how many times we've responded into White City and what other things we're dealing on. These are incidents that needed to be a report documented and gone from there.
Question?
Yeah.
Out of the 40 then, about how many would you say needed a response within White City?
Within the 40 incidents, how many of those required a response into White City? Would you estimate? Versus just having to do a report?
I would say not actually seeing which ones were handled telephonically. It appears that a majority of the cases that are generated in White City, an officer is responding to. Like I said, there's an opportunity for some of the reports to be done either online or, which I'm not seeing any online reports. They kind of fall away. But as far as, not actually going through and looking to see which ones are tellies, it looks like for the most part, a lot of these are responding in person, especially our high volume calls. Usually that we talk about, like suspicious activity, we're usually responding into the area to figure out what's going on. I can tell you right now that a few of those suspicious activity calls that we generated this month, we're having juveniles for some reason are going, taking mail out of the mailbox and just moving it to another part of the property. The owners of the mailbox are not noticing anything missing as of yet. Of course they can in the future, but as far as, I think there's like two or three of those suspicious items, but we're actually responding into the area to address those issues.
Would it be possible to add a sub-item going forward about which one, how many are in coming into White City? I assume the ones that aren't are less serious and the ones that are, more of an in-person. Would it be possible to have a sub-item like that?
Yep.
Thank you.
But just looking at, usually what I do is I break down and check the location of all these reports to make sure we're not going back to the same address over and over. I can report that most of these incidents are isolated. We're not going back to the same address. So that's a good thing. Usually if we are going back to the same address, we try to find other resources because going back and back and forth, it's not solving their issues. So we try to look for long-term resolutions. We did see an increase in traffic accidents this month. We really don't have a control over that. But there is an increase in reportable accidents. And then, of course, a lot of civil cases and then our welfare checks. White City's always been big on a community that cares about each other. We're calling to check on neighbors or not able to get hold of neighbors, or family members are calling on other family members to be checked on. And then just a heads up, I kind of touched on it last night. There is a trend that's making its way to the Salt Lake Valley. And it's a TikTok challenge. Basically, it's a there was, you know, ring the doorbell and run away. Now we've upped it to let's kick a door and run away. To now what we have is doors are being essentially booted in. And so we're seeing this trend. It's a trend that we don't like to see. For those that have kids that are of the TikTok age, or if you allow your kids on social media, just be aware of what's out there, what's going on, what these challenges are. Looking nationwide, it looks like it's a trend that is starting to luckily decline, but unfortunately Utah's a little bit further behind, but we're seeing an uptick in it. Ultimately, it is very dangerous. Ultimately, you kick somebody's door in that isn't expecting you, they think you're breaking in. Ultimately, this could lead to other issues and other problems. So just be aware of that's going on. Be aware of if your kids are out and about at night, just be aware of these challenges that are out there, and hopefully we're not participating in them. Luckily, White City has not seen any of these cases yet, so we'll try to keep that number where it's at. As far as the new year goes, I just remind everybody, if you do have new equipment, new toys, new stuff that's got some high dollar value, jot down that serial number in whatever way that you feel is necessary. A lot of us take pictures with cell phones nowadays. That's the easiest way to document that and keep that, as long as we're not losing our cell phones. So, and then that helps us in the long run recover your property and prosecution. So.
And real quick, I'll just jump in on some of the administrative stuff that's going on in the precinct. So December was a very busy month for us. We participated in several events, Operation Santa with the Mid-Valley Rotary Club. The UPD Shop with the Shield event is all hosted through Unified Police Department. It's sworn officers, civilian staff that donate into that. We were able to serve 15 families, 51 children, had $250, and shop with the cop at Walmart. So that was really successful for us. And I had mentioned before that we had a precinct challenge with Holiday and with Mill Creek Precinct, collecting items and donations for the Connie Crosby Family Resource Center. And I'm proud to say our precinct smoked the other cities.
Yeah.
Thank you all to help the community and obviously council and mayor. Over 10,000 items were collected and approximately $2,000 was donated. So we were excited about that. We've had two retirements out of the precinct this month. And then PSD Cash, our canine, is retiring, heading off to play fetch and lounge around all day, so we're excited for him. We are getting two sergeants transferring in, and a new hire is coming to us this month. That will be helpful. As you know, one of our biggest challenges is staffing. So getting that new hire officer out on the road will be great, and then we're anticipating four next month. So when we hire folks, it takes about 10 months for them to go through all the training process, the academy, where they're out and serviceable, responding to calls, and that is having a 50% attrition rate. So it's hard to get folks out in the field, so we're almost through that challenge. And then last but not least, January 17th, Saturday, is the 10-year anniversary of the death of Officer Doug Barney, a UPD officer killed in the line of duty. He was murdered in the community. He was responding to a hit-and-run call. So we will forever commemorate Doug. We remember him, and we will be having a private lunch with his family. So that's it, unless you guys have any questions for me. Great. Thank you very much, and congratulations.
Thanks, guys. Chief.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Stays on forever.
Thank you.
Thank you both. We'll go ahead and move on to item 5.1, approval of the minutes from December 4th, 2025. Minutes were in the packet. If there's any questions or discussion, I'll entertain a motion to approve the minutes.
Unless somebody else has anything that they caught, I'll make a motion that we approve the minutes for December 4th, 2025.
Second.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, thank you. Motion carries. Item 5.2, discussion and consideration of resolutions 2026-01-01, appointing a White City Mayor Pro Tem. So as with the new election, but also with the first of the year, it's appropriate to reconsider or consider our board appointments. So as mayor, I would like to ask the council for consent to designate Neil Mahoney as to perform as mayor pro tem. So if there's any discussion or input from the council, we'll have that discussion.
I'd like to actually have a little bit of a discussion about that. I've been serving in that role for the past 2 years, I think.
Yeah.
Also sit on the board for the Wasatch Front Waste and Recycling District as board chair. Currently have a lot of time available, and this position does warrant a significant increase in time and availability. Communication with the mayor is critical, so I just want to point that out and put my hat in the ring for that as well.
Any other discussion? Yeah, so and I did speak with Neil. Neil is also willing to serve in that capacity, and Greg's done a great job in that capacity. So my recommendation as mayor is to designate Neil Mahoney at this time for mayor pro tem, but I would need a motion from the council for consideration of appointment.
I'll make a motion, resolution 2026-0101, appointing Neil Mahoney as the mayor of the town for White City.
I'll second.
We do have a motion and a second. With being a resolution, we do need a roll call vote. So I'll ask Rory.
Go ahead.
Do you want me to? Okay.
Yeah.
Councilmember Hewish?
Yes.
Councilmember Mahoney?
Yes.
Mayor Perry? Yes.
Greg Shelton? Yes.
Linda Price? Yes.
Thank you. The motion is unanimous. We'll move on then to item 5.3, discussion and consideration of resolution 2026-0102, appointing a representative and alternate to serve on the Greater Salt Lake Municipal Services District Board. So typically the mayor serves as the representative to the MSD board, and then the mayor pro tem serves as alternate on that board. So it'd be my recommendation, I'd look for a motion to appoint myself, mayor, as representative, and council member Mahoney as alternate to the Greater Salt Lake Municipal Services District Board.
I'll make that motion. So moved.
Okay, we'll do a roll call vote. Council member Hewish?
Yes.
Council member Mahoney?
Yes.
Mayor Perry? Yes.
Greg Shelton, yes.
Lynn Price, yes.
Is unanimous. We'll move on to item 5.4, discussion, consideration, resolution 2026-0103, appointing a representative and alternate to the Unified Fire Service Area and Unified Fire Authority Boards of Trustees. Currently in those positions, Tyler Hewish represents the council on those boards, and Linda Price serves as alternate. If there's and no discussion, my recommendation would be to maintain those positions. We'll need a motion.
I'll make a motion to keep Tyler and Linda in their current roles on the fire.
Do we have a second?
Oh. I'll second that, Greg Shelton.
Okay. A motion and a second. We'll do a roll call vote. Councilmember Hewitt?
Yes.
Councilmember Mahoney?
Yes.
Mayor Perry, yes.
Greg Shelton, yes.
Linda Price, yes.
Thank you. Motion passes. We'll move on to item 5.5. Discussion and consideration of resolution 2026-0104, appointing a representative to serve as White City's member on the Board of Trustees of the Wasatch Front Waste and Recycling District. Greg Shelton currently serves in this position and is currently the chair of the Wasatch Front Waste and Recycling District Board. It would be my recommendation to the council that Greg maintains this position on that board, but I'd look for discussion or motion from the council.
I make a motion we retain Greg Shelton as the representative on Wasatch Waste.
I'll second that.
Motion and a second, but a roll call vote. Councilmember Hewish?
Yes.
Mahoney?
Yes.
Mayor Perry, yes.
Greg Shelton, yes.
Linda Price, yes.
Just a point on that. It was just a typo in the resolution vote. Just recycling that. Unless you want to be on the Resolve Salt Paint District.
Mine's right.
You got the secondary.
The actual.
All right. Item 5.6 on the agenda is discussion and consideration resolution number 2026-0105, appointing a representative to the South Salt Lake Valley Mosquito Abatement District.
The mouthful, board. Isn't it?
Yes. Linda Price has currently served on this board. I would recommend that she continue on that board, but I'd look for discussion or motion from the council.
I'll make the motion. Unless anyone has any discussion. I'll make the motion appointing Linda Price to continue to serve on the South Salt Lake Valley Mosquito Abatement District board.
I'll second that.
Motion and a second, so we'll have a roll call vote. Councilmember Hewish?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes from Mahoney. Mayor Kelly, Mayor Perry, yes.
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 Okay, thank you. That motion passes. Next, item 5.7, discussion and consideration of resolution 2026-0106. Appointing a representative to serve on the Salt Lake County Animal Control Advisory Board. Linda Price currently serves in this capacity, and again, I would recommend and look for a motion if there's no other discussion for her to continue in that capacity.
I'll make a motion to have Linda Price continue to serve on animal control. Is that what we are?
Yes.
Mosquito.
Animal control.
How about you second?
It's bugs and pets.
Okay. The motion and a second, and we'll roll call vote. Councilmember Hewish?
Yes.
Councilmember Mahoney?
Yes.
And Mayor Perry, yes.
Greg Shelton, yes.
Linda Price, yes.
Yeah, just with the slack up.
Okay. Thank you. That motion carries. On to item 5.8. Discussion and consideration of resolution number 2026-0107, appointing a representative to the Unified Police Department and Salt Lake Valley Law Enforcement Service Area Boards. This position was previously filled by Councilmember Phil Cardenas. At this time, I would like to ask the council to consider appointing myself to fill those board positions. I know UPD and Slavisa continue to go through transitions as they moved away from county sheriff, and I feel it would be an important place for me to serve at this time. But I'd look for discussion and motion from the council.
I'll make a discussion point really quick. As I've looked at those boards and I've talked with other mayors in other cities, I've seen that the majority of the board members are mayors represented there, and I see the importance and the value of that, so I'm in support of that adjustment here, too.
Okay.
Any other discussion?
Go ahead.
And I agree with Tyler on that. I think it's really important that the mayor is pretty visible on this board. Our mayor has served on it in the past, and I just think it's a good thing for White City to have that extra support out there.
And I've got a question for legal. Is Neil required to have one of these slots?
Sorry, what?
Is Neil required to have one of these slots? Legally? Okay. I just was curious. I didn't know if there was a ability or inability schedule-wise and whatnot, so that was my concern. Sorry.
For the mayor to attend those meetings?
No. I just wanted to make sure you had the opportunity to have one of these seats, but I didn't know if it was a schedule issue or...
I didn't want to not
allow you to have the opportunity to serve on one of these boards.
Okay.
Because it is worthwhile.
Thank you. I appreciate that. No scheduling issues. Mayor Perry has asked me to serve in a more informal role as a liaison with the community council. So I will be attending those meetings and trying to facilitate communication between the community council and the city council. So I would make a motion to appoint Mayor Alan Perry to the Unified Police Department and the Salt Lake Valley Law Enforcement Boards to represent White City.
A second.
We do have a motion from Councilmember Mahoney and a second from Councilmember Price. We'll roll call vote. Councilmember Hewish?
Yes.
And Councilmember Mahoney?
Yes.
And Mayor Perry, yes?
Yes.
Yes.
Thank you. Okay, we'll move on to item 5.9. Item discussion and possible action regarding an RFP, a request for proposal for legal and accounting services. I want to say it's a tough discussion to have, and by having this discussion, I want to be upfront and say by no means am I concerned with capability or with our current council or accounting services, but I do feel it's important as we define ourselves more as a city and help clear confusion from White City versus White City Water Improvement District. I would like to see a better level of separation in those roles of legal counsel. And on the question of accounting services, I think there's been conversation of is that a role that we need at this time, separate from what the MSD provides? And so those are the conversations I just would like to bring to the council for discussion. If the council wants, we can leave things as is. If the council wants, we can direct staff to go out for an RFP for legal and or accounting services. Those currently serving in those roles can certainly apply if they're still interested, but I wanted to bring that before the council. I think it's important as we kind of move forward as a city that we help clear that confusion between the Water District and White City, you know, as we've progressed over the last 10 years. But I would open that up for council discussion and any possible action.
I saw this on the agenda, and frankly, I feel like it brings a significant amount of undue risk or unnecessary risk to the organization, to White City, at this time. I think that with everybody's kind of jumping in and getting comfortable in their roles, we don't need to add to that and lose the knowledge that Paul potentially lose. I mean, you could still beat the RFP, obviously, but I just think that it's probably not in our best interest to do this at this point in time. Probably the same with the accounting. I think there's going to be a big learning curve if that ever changes for us. And I think there needs to be a significant amount of time spent on that topic before diving into it and seriously considering it. Not that I'm not necessarily against or for it, but timing.
Any other discussion from the council?
Thank you, sir. A few points. I've looked this over as well. It's been a discussion before in January, this meeting. From the accounting side, two things. I do appreciate the level of detail that comes from the MSD, and I would actually ask for more details if that were to continue as well. An open question I have there is if we are moving accounting attention to the MSD further, is that going to change the cost that we're paying for services? And just want to make sure we're getting either savings there and or a higher level of service or additional levels of service there. So that's one. Mary, you've already had those conversations. You can speak to that before any other comments on legal services.
Yeah, and I don't have that information at this time. I know the MSD can provide what we want as far as accounting or reports, but I don't know if there's additional costs associated with that.
Just have a question for Paul. Have you felt any, like it's been difficult to kind of be both for White City and the water district in your opinion?
I haven't had any difficulty. If anything, I think the relationship between the water district and the city has been positive, and it's worked to the advantage of both entities. And, it's worked to the interest of both entities. The district was fundamental in creating the metro townships, and White City specifically because we wanted to ensure that its independence by providing water to two independent cities. My role with the district has changed. I am now retired as the general manager of the White City Water Improvement District. I remain the general counsel for 3 more months, and then I retire from that position on April 1st, at which time I will probably go with some law firm. Maybe I'll actually take some time off. I don't know. I've worked since I was 14. I've never done anything different. So I've enjoyed my role with the city and the district, and I've been with this community from the beginning and fought for its independence. I'm very pleased where you are. I really am. So whatever the city wants. As a professional, you want to work for people that want you. And if they don't, that's fine. There's other people that will want you.
Thank you. I appreciate all of, I really appreciate those comments. Is it your desire to continue?
Where is it?
Okay. Thank you.
Okay, I've worked with Paul now for a lot of years with the city. I've been to a lot of state meetings with him, and I can tell you that he is well respected in the state of Utah. He has so much knowledge with the legislature that I think we've benefited so much from that. He obviously works with the districts. He's well respected in that avenue as well. I agree with Greg. I think let's not throw out the baby with the bathwater, so to speak, right now, and get everything settled in. If down the road, Paul, we want to look at it, but I'm not sure we want to go down this road right now. And I appreciate everything that Paul's done. And I know he's worked for the water company and us as well, and I've not seen a conflict of interest there. And if he ever had something, he would address it with us. So I just appreciate his professionalism all these years.
I'd like to actually also second what Linda said there with my appreciation for Paul. Obviously, I've only known Paul for 3 years on the council and probably another 2 years as coming as a citizen and voicing my concerns to the community council at city council at the time. But I mean, in my mind, I'd like Paul here with us fighting the good fight, because I know we've got one coming. If we're not fighting for our independence as White City, that's when it slips away. So for me, I obviously want you here and would support you.
I agree with what's being stated, maybe just a little different perspective. When it comes to any type of contract work, it's appropriate to make sure you're getting the best price. We shop insurance regularly for our cars and our homes, and the same thing needs to happen with the contracted services we're having here. And so I like the idea of going out to see if we're still competitive in the market and to see what services are available and being provided from others, and would that continue to be helpful. I can't discount the service that's been provided thus far, but it's the only service I've seen. And I would be interested to see more. And part of those requests for proposals, the same individuals can request it to continue to keep those positions. But I think it's time as a council that we get that opportunity to evaluate options and to choose the best ones. So I'll make a motion, unless anyone wants any additional comments, to continue moving forward with requests for proposals.
Yeah, I'd like to make another, a retort to that is that, again, I'm not necessarily opposed to going out for it. I think it's significantly early, and you get what you pay for on one degree. I'm not necessarily saying we don't need to make sure we're being fiscally responsible, but Paul's knowledge and even Dave's knowledge is valuable and should be accounted for and considered. And that's why I actually would probably like to make a motion that we push this agenda item down the road for further discussion, because I don't think that it's a good time for us to really make this big of a risk and change with everybody, with at least a couple of new people on the council. I mean, Alan's not new, but recent.
Okay.
I wasn't able to complete mine. It sounds like you made it.
Oh. Okay, so we do have a motion from Council Member Shelton to table this item for the present time. We'll look for a second if there is one.
Seeing none, I'd like to make a new motion that we move forward with the request for proposals for both positions and leave that open again for the mayor and the staff to go out and seek opportunities for both of these roles, or to evaluate if the accounting was also needed, or can you go to the MSD?
So we do have a motion from Council Member Hewish, so we would need a second to continue.
I'll second that motion.
Okay. So we do have a motion and a second, so we do you want a roll call vote? Okay, we'll do a roll call vote. Council Member Hewish?
Yes.
Council Member Mahoney?
Yes.
Mayor Perry? Yes.
Mark Shelton? Nay.
Lynn Price? Nay.
Okay, so the motion does carry 3-2. That would direct staff to go out to RFP for those services.
I think it's 2-7.
For anyone that could apply. Item 5.10 on the agenda is discussion and possible action regarding fiscal year 2027 capital projects. Rory, excited.
Mayor, I'm going to turn this over to Chad because he has all the information for the capital projects.
Where we're at in the capital project, basically we're in the process of budgeting for fiscal year 2027 capital projects for all of the municipalities that make up the MSC. fiscal year 27 will start July 1st, 2026. So we're a few months away from that right now. I'd like to talk about the projects that we currently have funded. So can you be aware of them? Just a second, I'll close the spreadsheet. Okay. Right now we have a project funded that will address some drainage concerns at Peony and Larkspur. That's a grant project. We have one that adds a sidewalk on the north side of Onyx Lane, also a grant project funded through WFRC. We have a project that will reprofile the east end of Seagull Lane this week. Really, as you come off 1300 East, onto Seagull Lily, basically it drops really fast. So it's so steep that you cannot have a crosswalk on that side of the intersection. Anyway, this is another grant project. We got almost $1 million grant from WFRC to basically flatten out the intersection coming out of that, coming off 1300 East. Come out flat and then it kind of dives and then basically ties back into the existing profile of the road. That is funded and starting design in the contracting phase right now. And the last one being a project that will fix some drainage concerns along Marble Street. That's ready to go to bid and it will be constructed as soon as things thaw out in the spring. It's now that we finally have some snow. But usually we don't construct until about April, we should have things starting construction. There's also a list that should be in your packet of known needs for White City. These include, I'll give you a quick rundown. Three drainage issues that are known: Violet Drive and Larkspur Drive, Violet Drive and Violet Circle Drainage, Violet Drive and Budleia Drive, and there's a geometry potential project at Galena and Seagully. Currently that intersection kind of flares out wide enough that it, from a traffic standpoint, it's not preferable to have the intersection widen out like that. It'd be much preferable to narrow it down to channelize traffic better. So that's a potential future project.
What was that intersection again?
Galena and Seagull Lily. Okay. So we did Seagull Lily last year, but
I remember now. I just, that went blank, so yeah, that's why I was asking again.
White City's, there's an active transportation plan or an alternative transportation plan called Walk White City, and it calls for a second bridge across Dimbledale from Marble Street to 10415 South. There could be a potential future project for roadway improvements along Poppy Lane that would add some sidewalk, missing sidewalk segments, improve the curb and gutter, things like that. Drainage on Opal Circle, another sidewalk on Antimony Lane, sidewalk on Poppy Lane, pavement, repaving Carnation Drive, and one new drainage issue that isn't in your packets, but I recently got feedback about a drainage issue on Violet Drive at 950 East Violet Drive. So circling back to, there is a smart sheet that Rory has access to. She can put in additional known need, or if you have any known needs for White City, they should go into the smart sheet, and those will be due next Friday, the 17th. After the 17th, we, the engineers, will put cost estimates together and start to rank things according to safety concerns or drainage concerns or whatever the concern may be. And then we will come back to council with a ranked list and cost estimates, things that we will propose to the MSD board to fund. So, any questions?
Just one question.
Is there a tentative dollar amount that might be assigned? I know it's mixed, you gotta balance lots of things, but in the ballpark, are we talking 100,000, a million, 10 million?
So the MSD board funds the projects, all things considered, based on there's a number of considerations. Really, at the end of the day, it's needs-based. The shared services model is also shared capital improvement project funding. But on average, we have several million dollars per year that will be funded toward capital projects. So, you know, at least if Brian wants to talk about how much you want to answer that question. It's like, I don't know how best to answer that. How much White City should be able to expect
from
that? I still
want to see them put a crosswalk at 1280 East that they took out.
Hello, I'm Brian Hartzell, Municipal Services District Associate General Manager, Treasurer, and I work with Chad. As Chad mentioned, typically what we've seen in the past several fiscal years is approximately $2 to $3 million district-wide of district funds. A lot of these projects at times are of which funding often goes to local match portions of grant-funded projects. Sometimes projects don't get grants and require exclusive local funding. So when the engineers present projects to you and you prioritize projects you want, they get rolled up into the request from other member cities and towns, and there's like a master list of projects that get funded based on available funding from year to year. Typically, that's been without having it directly funded now, between $2 to $3 million a year in projects that are added. Sometimes there's a lot of other projects that are already in the pipeline that are evaluated as well and determine if additional funding are needed to keep those moving forward as well. So I don't know if that answers your question.
Thank you.
Yeah. Any other questions?
Mine's more about the next meeting, I believe in February, we'll need to be going over these as well. I think it sounds like action items now is please continue to submit any that we see or know of. Then it would be good to see all of them. We might be able to evaluate if we see it necessary or not. Is that about right? So,
yeah, I said they're just going to do into the SPAR sheet end of next week. And it'll be sometime in, actually, yes, I guess it needs to be, it should be the first, your meeting is the beginning of February. I will need to have the cost estimates done and prioritization by then. So, yeah, I'll come back then. This, anticipating this go to the MSD board, the second MSD meeting in March is currently the plan.
So. Okay, that'd be great. Then I think just, let's make sure Chad's on the agenda in February so that we can review these projects really good. I did have a question, because I know your list isn't all-inclusive of all the capital requests for White City.
Yeah, these are not everything we've ever, past years. Okay, I'll give more context on when we get the requests, we'll take them and basically split them into things that are Parks and Rec related, things that are operations related. So Salt Lake County Public Works Operations covers maintenance of the roadways, curb gutter, sidewalk. So we'll split them into things that are should go to them, and then the actual capital projects we handle in engineering are usually bigger things that Ops doesn't handle and Parks and Rec doesn't.
They'd be like new development or redevelopment.
Or full reconstruction of roadways, big upgrades.
Gotcha.
So that's, when we get those, they will stay on my list. So.
And we got a report back in October's meeting for the pavement does pavement replacement fall into that? I just don't recall.
If you have any that you know are not in the program and plan, yeah, please put them up here. We'll get them back to operations, but they're not budgeted for in the capital improvement projects. No. They're separate.
Those are my questions.
Cool. All right. Thank you. I'll come back in February.
Thanks, Chad.
Thank you, Chad. Okay, we are running short on time. We've got as close to 10 minutes as we can get it. Discussion item 6. I know it came up in the December meeting that there may need to be revision of the agreement with White City Water Improvement District, where we've typically met. So I just wanted to get the council's quick take if I want to go ahead and just have staff move forward to initiate that discussion and bring it back for further discussion.
So I read through the existing lease agreement, which was done in 2017, and it seems to me to be an automatic renewal. So unless either site terminates it and it just keeps on going and going, based on what I read, I did not find a reason to that we would either be required to or benefit from renegotiating. It seems to be fine from my perspective. So that's my take.
I think this is actually being instituted by the Water District. And that's just because they will no longer have an employee that's actively working with the city, especially if I'm not continuing with you. As such, they're concerned with security more than anything. They will have to retain that, have one of their employees stay there to open up the building and close it down, and they want to be reimbursed for the cost of that employee. So that's the only difference in the agreement. It was negotiated between myself on behalf of the district. At that time, we hired a different attorney to represent the city, so that both sides were represented. But that's the only issue. Now, while I'm working with you, we don't have to worry about that because I have a key. Okay, but that won't happen when I'm not around.
Thank you, Paul. And so, from my view, we just are kind of waiting then for the Water District to come and present us with a proposal for something new. On our end, it doesn't seem like we need to take action at this point.
I think it makes sense to then for staff and mayor to engage with that organization to talk about it. Here are the concerns there. Is there additional cost? Are there other opportunities to still be able to use the building and meet those needs? So I know it's not an action item here, but I think it makes sense for staff and mayor to engage in that conversation.
Good. Yeah, if there's any other discussion or action, I can move forward with that direction and work with staff and with Paul in the Water District and see if there's any revisions that need to come back to us. Thank you. Okay, council reports, item 7.1. Greater Salton Municipal Services District, Council of Governments. I don't have any, I haven't attended those officially, so I don't have any updates, but both of those have meetings this upcoming week. 7.2, Unified Fire Authority and Unified Fire Service Area, Council Member Hewish.
Same, we haven't met since our last City Council meeting in December, so we're meeting next week, so I'll have a report for next week.
And item 7.3, mosquito abatement in Salt Lake County Animal Control, Councilmember Price.
In December we had a brief meeting. It was to approve our budget. We did approve a budget for next year of $2,256,500. That is an increase of $306,000 over the previous year. Secondly, animal control, we did not have a meeting in December.
Okay, and is 7.4 Unified Police Department. And Slavisa, I know Councilmember Cardenas attended meetings in December, and I just want to publicly thank him. I didn't hear the full context, but I heard that he represented White City well and stood up for White City. So I want to publicly thank Paul, if you want to.
They approved the budget. I was at the meeting, the budget was approved, and the sheriff was reluctantly agreed to do her policing for law enforcement for the number that was put together by the UPD. So it was a good decision, not an easy decision.
Councilmember, item number 7.5, Councilmember Greg Shelton with Wasatch Front Waste and Recycling District.
So by popular demand, we also did not have a December meeting, as you can imagine. Our meetings are the fourth Monday of the month, so it was a little too close to Christmas and holidays. So we'll see you guys next month for that one.
Okay, thank you. So I believe we do have a need for a closed session tonight, and I think given the circumstances, if that happens and is voted for, the council will just step out into the hallway briefly. We won't be taking any action after that, but we will come back to close the meeting. I would entertain a motion to...
We just need to make a motion to close the meeting to discuss the real property issues.
I'll make the motion to go into a closed session to discuss property issues and immediately attempt to come back and close the general meeting.
If you're okay with the edit, this is specifically strategy sessions to discuss purchase, exchange, or lease of real property.
So said.
And second. We'll have a roll call vote.
Linda.
Yes.
Councilmember Hewish?
Yes.
Councilmember Mahoney?
Yes.
Mayor Perry, yes.
Greg Shelton, yes.
Linda Price, yes.
Okay. So the council will step out briefly. You're welcome to stay if you want.
Thank you.